My first guest, I'm very excited and actually have been wanting to have him on the show for some time. He is coming to us live from Arroyo Grande, California. Those of you who know the Central Coast know what a beautiful community that is up north. And this guest is an expert on a subject that we brought up about 6 weeks ago, Tom. We were talking about the end of the world as we know it, 2012. And coincidentally, there's a movie coming out next Friday with the title 2012. And I've decided we should have the expert here to talk about it. So today's guest is Dr. Bob Thiel. He is president of Doctors Research Incorporated, and he's author of 7 books. His latest title is 2012 and the Rising of the Secret Sect. I'm excited to get into this one. Dr. Thiel, he was born in Michigan. He moved to Central California in 1976 when he was stationed out here at Vandenberg Air Force Base, and he never left. Dr. Thiel has his PhD from Union Institute and University. He has a master's degree from USC. He studied undergrad at Allen Hancock College. This is a guy who's got some education and done some research on this particular book. Married to his wife, Joyce, since 1981, Bob and Joyce have 3 sons. Joyce and Bob have made multiple trips to the ancient ruins in Central America, Asia Minor, Rome, Greece, Asia, and Africa as research for this book. We're very pleased to have on the line Dr. Bob Thiel. Bob, you there?
Yes, thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, thank you for being on our show, The Business of Life. We are glad to have you. I mean, this is an amazing topic. It's coincidental that the movie is coming out next Friday. I believe it's Sony Pictures, isn't it, that's putting this one out?
Yes, it's Sony.
Sony Pictures is going to come out. And we're going to talk about the movie, in particular, how it relates to the realities that you've discovered in your book. And that's sort of the theme that we've had this week as well, isn't it, Spence? We've been debunking movies. Yesterday, We debunked pirate radio, and today it looks like we're going to be debunking 2012. Soon we're going to be known as the debunkers here, or maybe the myth breakers.
Yeah, we could be like the Movie Busters.
The Movie Busters.
That could be it. Let's bring it on.
Okay, I like that. We're going to trademark that name, Movie Busters. All right, Bob, so the first thing I always love to ask an author, particularly when they take on a somewhat controversial subject, you know, like the end of the world, I'm always interested, what made you write the book, and why did you do it now?
Well, I was actually working on a book related to church history and end time prophecy. I got the idea to do this on a trip we made to the Vatican about 5 years ago. Well, I'm working on this book, and it's a very long book, and it's a book for scholars. And while I'm working on it, I noted that Sony had bought the rights to Roland Emmerich's 2012 flick for about $200 million. That's the kind of budget we're talking about.
That's all? Just $200
million? $200 million, yes. It's a pretty big deal movie. So that kind of went in the back of my mind. I thought, you know, that'll probably get a lot of people interested in end time events. And so the other book that I was working on, I put on hold. And I thought about this one, but I didn't think I could have a book out in time. And originally, I saw a trailer from, not a trailer, but a preview of Sony's flick last January, local theater.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the movie was coming out in July. And I said, okay, well, I can't possibly write a book by then. Well, I actually contacted Sony, and I said, by the way, I do a lot of writing and research and whatever. Can I preview the movie before it comes out? And they said, well, yes. But it's not coming out in July. It's coming out November 13th.
Oh, there you go.
I said, November 13th, huh? So I started to think about it, and I said, you know, I've got enough material done. If I add a little bit more, and I made one trip to the Vatican since then. I said, you know, I could probably pull all this together and get a book out before Sony's movie comes out. So we did.
Fascinating. Now, let me ask you just one quick question. I digress for just a minute. It's coming out on the 13th of November. That's next Friday. Is it any coincidence that it's coming out on a Friday the 13th?
I didn't ask Sony, but the people that I've worked with at Sony, they've done a lot of interesting things in terms of timing. That might be one of the reasons. The other part, however, is also, I think, to take advantage of the Thanksgiving break.
Ah, yeah, you always have to take care of the moviegoers and look at that as well. All right, so you did extensive research, and I need to clarify for our listeners out there just the level of research that you have done. You mentioned twice that you've gone to the Vatican, so clearly you have the Catholic perspective in this book. But you've also done research on Hopi traditions, the Hopi Indians, the I Ching, the Bible, the Talmud. You've been doing, I guess, some work with the Quran for Islam. Byzantine prophecies, Hindu predictions, Chinese prophecies, Tibetan writings, and Mayan predictions. You have done your homework, sir, on this book. That is incredible. And I want to come back, and the first thing we're going to lead with when we get back, this is known in the radio business as a teaser. First thing we're going to lead with when we get back is, how accurate is the movie based on what you've seen in previews and screeners and all of that kind of stuff?
In the year 2525.
Welcome back, everybody, to the show we call The Business of Life. This is Billy the Brain sitting in for Coach Ron Tunick, who is out doing a lecture at some undisclosed location here in Ventura County. Ron, I hope you're having a good lecture out there. But meanwhile, we're joined on the radio by an absolute expert on the end of the world as we know it. He is the author of the book 2012 and The Rise of the Secret Sect. It is Dr. Bob Thiel. He is on the line with us today. Listeners, if you have an opinion about this after listening to Dr. Thiel, you want to call in. The number here at the studio is 639-0008. That's 639-0008. Call in. We invite all of your comments. Bob, before we went on commercial break, we were talking about the movie that Sony Pictures is putting out next Friday, Friday the 13th, and you were privy to a lot of the previews to that movie, and you've written the definitive book on 2012. So based on what you've seen, tell us, what does the movie get right? What does the movie miss?
Well, first of all, the movie does get right that there actually is a Mayan prediction that the world will be inundated by a flood. Newsweek made some comment back in May that this whole idea was a gringo invention because the Mayans aren't all excited about it. Well, whether the current Mayans are excited or not is irrelevant. The reality is there's actually a writing from the Mayans in the 16th century. Now, this is once they learned how to write.
Right.
They didn't write before then.
Mm-hmm.
It specifically says, and I quote it in the book, that the god will bring about a deluge at the end of the calendar, and that'll be the end of the world. So the Sony has it correct that according to the Mayan prediction that on December 21st, 2012, there is supposed to be a worldwide flood.
Okay, so far so good. Sony's one for one as far as correctness goes. What else did they get right?
Well, they also got right that there are Mayan prophecies regarding the earth burning. If you've seen any of the more recent trailers, they actually show the fireballs coming from the sky. Now, the Mayan prediction wasn't quite that specific, but it did say about earth burning and that type of a thing. So they got that correct. The timing is a little bit different, however. But if you put all the Mayan predictions together, they do show these kinds of things happening.
All right. Okay. So why did the Mayans choose 2012 as the end of the world?
Well, I think they did it backwards. I don't think they all of a sudden came up with the idea that it's going to be 2012. I actually think what they did is they looked into astronomy, and they were great astronomers. I mean, they didn't have telescopes like we knew it, but they were more accurate with their calendar than we are in ours, by the way.
Yes, history has shown that.
Right, so they're very accurate with the calendar, and they were obsessed with the movement of the heavens. So they calculated there would be something close to a galactic alignment in our galaxy, a more precise alignment than has happened for like 27,000 years. Now, according to some astronomers, it's not really an alignment. It's only a sort of a kind of one, but whatever. I think they calculated this alignment, and when they did, then they just calculated their calendar backwards from it.
Okay, now, hold on, Bob. Before we go any farther, let's talk about that alignment, because that is an actual fact, and these Mayans predicted this centuries before it happened. So what alignment are you referring to, and when do we expect the alignment to happen?
Well, we expect the alignment to happen on December 21st, 2012.
Okay.
Okay. There's no doubt about that. There is debate within the scientific community as far as if it's significant or what kind of if it's a precise alignment.
Okay.
Okay. But no. There's no doubt that they got that right.
And what is aligning? Or I should say, which planets?
Well, essentially, ours with the center of the Milky Way galaxy.
Right. So for the first time in 26 or 27,000 years, you know, give or take 1,000 years, we are going to be aligned perfectly with the center of the Milky Way.
And or as perfect as it ever gets.
Well, yeah, perfect is a relative term. But as perfectly as we know it, we are going to be aligned with the center of the galaxy. And that's what's going to cause the flood? That's what's going to cause the fire raining from the heavens?
Well, the Mayans didn't say that. They just said when the calendar ends, then God is going to make this happen.
All right, so God's going to intervene at that time.
That is what it says.
That's when his wristwatch strikes 12 and things begin to happen. All right, so what else did the movie get right? So far, they're doing pretty well.
They got right the fact that when massive disasters happen, most people are not going to be prepared for that.
Imagine that.
And they got right the fact that when massive disasters happen, people are going to try to take steps to protect themselves.
Meaning?
And those who have some idea prior to the disasters occurring are more likely to react when things do start to happen.
All right. And so because of your book, you feel you've got that knowledge of how things are going to shape up. So listeners, call in at 639-0008 if you want the secret sauce on how to save yourself on December the 21st, 2012. We have the expert on the line. All right, Bob, what did the movie miss? What did it get wrong?
Well, miss is an interesting term because it depends on what they were trying to accomplish. I don't think Sony has indicated they were trying to show every Mayan prediction coming to, because they couldn't do it in the two-hour movie.
Okay.
For example, though, they definitely, from what I've seen so far, left out the religious aspects of these prophecies.
Okay.
Okay, for example, the same prophecies that said the world is going to end in the flood also says that at that time Jesus Christ is going to return.
Okay, so
I'm pretty sure that's not in the movie.
That's not in the movie for, I guess, a lot of reasons, secular reasons. Okay.
Also, when the fire comes from heaven,
yes,
according to the Mayans, major cities are going to convert to Christianity or to some version of Christianity.
Okay.
The Mayans also warn that some type of archbishop is going to rise up and people shouldn't listen to him.
Should or should not listen
should
to
not.
Him? Should not
but
listen to the new archbishop.
He cannot be trusted.
Okay.
It talks about that some people are going to hide in the wilderness and some perhaps in caves.
Yes.
So there's just a lot of things that, you know, Sony wasn't working on or trying to emphasize in their movie. But a lot of these things are part of the same prophecies. The same prophecy that says the world's going to end in the flood says Christ is coming.
All right. Well, I want to explore those prophecies, Bob, when we get back off of this commercial break. We've got to stop right now for traffic and weather. But when we come back, I also want to get into not only the prophecies that are coming true from the Christian point of view, but the work that you've done with the I Ching, the work that you've done with the Quran, the work that you've done with the Talmud. You've been very thorough in your research, as I would expect a PhD to be. You've been very thorough with the research, and I want to see how this all comes together. And we're back, everybody. This is the Business of Life here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in beautiful downtown Ventura. And we are joined on the line by Dr. Bob Thiel, Ph.D. He has wrote the definitive book on the end of the world. The book is titled 2012, The Rise of the and the Rise of the Secret Sect. It talks all about the coming Armageddon. And I guess, Bob, my first question to you is, are we on Armageddon countdown? Do you have a clock that is like ticking down the days until December the 21st, 2012?
Yes, actually I do, although I wouldn't necessarily call it the Armageddon countdown, but yes, absolutely.
Well, this is radio. We have to hype things like that. You understand, right?
That's fine.
Okay, yeah. So countdown to Armageddon. How many days do we have left to actually get ourselves our act together here?
Well, the galactic alignment occurs 1,142 days, 8 hours, 31 minutes, and 16 seconds.
All right, I don't need to be that precise. 1,142 days and counting until 2012. Oh, my gosh. All right, so those of you that are out there would like to call in and find out what you can do in your remaining 1,142 days, the telephone number here is 639-0008, 639-0008. We're on the line with Dr. Bob Thiel. He has written the definitive book on 2012. And the thing that I liked about your book, Bob, very much was you didn't look at it from just one perspective. You didn't look at it from just two perspectives. You actually went out and you looked at a lot of different traditions, the Hopi Indians, of course, the Catholic Church. You mentioned you made several trips to the Vatican. You did research in the I Ching, the Bible, the Talmud, the Koran, Byzantine prophecies, Hindu predictions, Chinese prophecies, Tibetan writings, and Mayan predictions. We were talking about the Mayan predictions earlier. So how is it that all of these different religions, all of these different sects, all are pointing towards the same inevitable conclusion? What's going on there?
It's an interesting, that part's interesting. Almost all these cultures, if not all of them, are looking toward a time where there's going to be some kind of chaos or disaster, followed by the rise of some type of a leader, either a military leader or a religious leader. So it's a common theme amongst all the prophets, the societies, the cultures that I looked into. And what's interesting is a lot of them do line up. But they don't always line up exactly the same way as you may see some talking heads on some other shows say. For example, you mentioned the I Ching.
Right.
And what's interesting about that is I've heard people on television say that it ends, if you do it a certain way, it ends on December 21st, 2012, based on some work the McKenna brothers did using it. Problem is, that's not the date they came up the first time.
Uh-oh. Faulty math.
They came up with a date in November, so it's not that far off, but somebody changed it.
All right. Well, when it comes to the end of the world, I mean, does it really matter, November, December? You know, the end.
Except the thing that does matter, in my opinion, is that people are going out and saying that all of these cultures, they all point to exactly the same date. And I say that's not exactly the case.
Okay.
And like, for example, there's a Hindu who prophesying that it will all end on December 21st, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
But when I looked at more Hindu prophecies, they actually say, well, really, it's a couple of years later.
Okay.
So, my book doesn't say the world is going to end December 21st, 2012. What it does say is that we are close to the end of the world as we know it, and it will probably happen sometime next decade, as opposed to it has to happen 1,142 days from now.
All right. Well, when you're making these predictions 2, 3, 4,000 years in advance, I think there's a little wiggle room there, don't you?
Okay, that's a way to word it.
Okay. All right. Good. Now, the title of your book is 2012 and the Rise of the Secret Sect. That's S-E-C-T, Tom. Don't let your mind wander in any other direction, okay? But the reality is, I don't know what you mean by the secret sect. Do you mind sharing what is the secret sect that you're referring to in the title?
Well, the secret sect, that actually comes from some prophecies by some mystics over the last several centuries. They believe that there is a secretive group whose goal it is to destroy normal civilization, and this is a bad thing.
I would say so.
But I did more research into this, and actually it seems to be that the group that they're talking about is actually a benevolent group, a group that basically wants to tell people what's really happening and a group that wants to help people. And what was astounding is, for example, I found a writing from a mystic from Sweden called Hildegard of Bingen in 1179 AD, so quite a long one.
Yes.
And she says, you know, these people, they look like they're really good people, and maybe they seem that way, but you can't trust them because they're really on the side of the Antichrist. And so I noticed that there were a lot of predictions that a group is going to rise up to tell the truth, that the prophets basically, or mystics, say these are decent people, but don't listen to them. And, you know, right now you've got the popularity of things such as Dan Brown's books, like,
right,
for example, The Lost Symbol.
The Lost Symbol.
One,
mm-hmm.
And The Lost Symbol, plus he had the Da Vinci Code, and he had Angels and Demons. We're really talking about things like the Freemasons or the Illuminati and whatever. And when most people hear the titles of my book, 2012 and the Rise of the Secret Sect, they think I'm warning that a group like the Illuminati is about to rise up and whatever. And I'm not at all.
Set the record straight. What are you saying?
I'm specifically saying that a group that some mystics have misidentified as a secret sect will rise up toward the end, explain to people what is and is not going to happen. Some people will believe them and other people will think they're crazy.
I get that. Some people think that they're telling the truth. Some people think that they're not telling the truth. Where do you fall on this?
Well, I believe they'll be telling the truth.
All right.
Explaining specifically what will and will not happen.
Okay, good. So they're truth tellers. They're good guys, in other words.
Yes.
All right, we need good guys in this whole thing, because if we're going to hell in a handbasket, but then we want to know who's on our side and who's not. All right, so you've got some terminology in the book that I really do need you to explain for our listeners, and take a few minutes to do this, because this is critical to the Islamic side of your research, as well as how things are going to play out. There are three main characters that I want you to define for us. There's the King of the North, the King of the South, and the Antichrist. What does all that have to do with 2012?
Okay, basically, what this has to do with 2012 is a couple of different things. So perhaps it'd be easiest by defining, for example, who the King of the South is, and that'll all tie in.
Let's start there.
Okay, the King of the South is somebody that's mentioned in the book of Daniel who is supposed to rise up at the time of the end and make a deal with a northern European power. Now, what's interesting about this person is his description sounds very similar to that the Shiite Muslims are looking for, a leader they call the final Imam, or the great Mahdi. And what this has to do with 2012 is that there's a Shiite prophecy from the 16th century that Forbes magazine reported about last year.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, what it says is that that just before the return of the Mahdi, the ultimate savior, a, quote, tall black man will assume the reins of the government in the West, commanding the strongest army on earth. This new ruler in the West will carry a clear sign from the third imam. So what's any of this got to do with anything? Well, in my lifetime, or even throughout history, there's never actually been a tall black leader in charge of the entire reins of government of any major Western power, who also happened to have the strongest armies of the West.
Okay.
Okay, so what this has to do with 2012 is that some were speculating and have speculated that this leader, the King of the South, is going to rise up during a time where we have a black president of the United States.
So
we've
you're thinking
a black president before.
So you're thinking that this Islamic prediction has to do with our current president, President Barack Obama?
I am saying that Forbes magazine reported that some Shiite Muslims believe that it does.
Okay.
And because Barack Obama, his term will include December 21st, 2012,
mm-hmm.
he would be president of the United States on this time. And according to this particular prediction, this leader should rise up while he's in office, which would be, you know, 2012, and I suppose he gets reelected a few years after that. So if this prediction is correct, the first time it ever could have been fulfilled would be once we had a black president.
So you're saying that Armageddon is going to happen on Barack Obama's watch?
I'm saying it might happen.
It might.
And I'm saying that that this leader is most likely alive now and will perhaps start to make great strides during the next several years to start to become prominent.
That's the King of the South. So we've got Islam and Christian religious moving in that direction. Tell us about the King of the North, because this is also very interesting.
Well, the King of the North is not Islamic. The King of the North, according to biblical prophecy, is going to be a person who is going to kind of come up with his own religion, but also worship an old religion at the same time. And according to a variety of prophecies, especially on the Catholic side, they're looking forward to, some Catholics at least, are looking forward to a time where somebody called a great monarch is supposed to rise up. And he's supposed to establish a new order within Catholicism. In other words, he's supposed to change the Catholic religion. So much so that members of the Catholic clergy are going to be offended by this leader. However, according to the predictions, a pope, probably an anti-pope, one who's not faithful to the Catholic religion, is supposed to say, well, that's all fine, and crown this guy the head of a revised Roman Empire.
And interesting.
That's in the predictions.
Okay.
Now, getting back to the Muslim predictions, the Muslims have a prediction that they're going to make a deal with a Catholic European leader, and that in the middle of this deal, the Catholic leader is going to violate it, and then Antichrist reigns. And that's according to the New Islamic Encyclopedia. So I saw this interesting convergence between these two powers.
Yes.
So the King of the North is apparently a European leader who is going to come up with a changed religion. Now,
right.
Catholic prophecies warn of a time where somebody is going to change the Catholic religion, call himself Catholic, but not truly be faithful to it. And the predictions seem to suggest that there will be a pope. And it would not be the current pope.
It's not Benedict?
No, I don't think it's Benedict.
Okay.
It could be the next pope, who could be this anti-pope and antichrist. Now, there is a Irish Catholic prophecy from 1129, 1130 A.D.
Yes.
That predicts all remaining popes, supposedly. This guy, his name was Malachy, he predicted 112 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the list includes anti-popes. Well, we've had 111 popes since he did this prediction. And the predictions were not totally far-fetched. For example, with John Paul II, he was number 110. And the prediction in English for 110 was of the working of the sun. And what's interesting about, or the eclipse of the sun, which is interesting, is that John Paul II was born on the day of a solar eclipse, and he was buried on the day of a solar eclipse.
How about that?
So this prophecy has got some interest. Now, what's interesting is there's only one pope left, and it was supposed to be all the popes. What's also interesting is there are a lot of Catholic, not anti-Catholic prophecies, but Catholic prophecies that warn that an anti-pope is supposed to come. Well, there has not been an anti-pope, as far as the Vatican is concerned, since the 1400s. Well, if an anti-pope is supposed to come, and there's only one pope left, it would probably be the next pope, which, again, we're looking at the same time frame.
Gotcha. Hot stuff. I mean, this is controversial things. So, callers, if you want to call in, the number here is 639-0008, 639-0008. So, Bob, we haven't gotten to the King of the North and finalized that. Who is the King of the North?
Well, the King of the North is, at this stage, a low- to mid-level leader, probably in the European Union.
Okay.
He, according to biblical and non-biblical prophecies, including Byzantium prophecies, he right now is not considered to be anybody of real consequence. He is supposed to rise up after civil unrest, perhaps in Europe, and he will be a nice guy. People will think he's a religious guy. And again, he's supposed to establish a new religious order. A lot of predictions make it sound like he's not really going to change the religion, but he will.
Okay.
And he's a leader that many people think the European Union needs, and people later will think that it needs.
All right. Interesting. So we've got the King of the North pitted against the King of the South and the Antichrist thrown in just for fun. So that's the mix that we've got coming up in 2012. And 2012, again, is when our planet aligns with the center of the Milky Way galaxy, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you've made some bold predictions. You've talked about a few of them here on the radio. In fact, you've got a whole chapter number 16, about some incredibly bold predictions. And Kevin, who is one of our regular listeners, he's on our chat line. He chatted in and wanted to know, you know, of the predictions that you have seen and you've tracked as a scholar, you know, how many of them are coming true? Which ones are coming true? Are you starting to see a pattern develop here?
Well, quite a few are coming true. As a matter of fact, when I was writing the book, because in the book, for example, I'd written that a European military power was going to rise up. And in May, it was announced that the Europeans, for example, may have to provide the part of the defense of the United States through their Galileo satellite system that will go online 2012, 2013, mm-hmm. because the United States is having problems. So that was one. Since the book came out, at least three things that I talked about in the book have started to come to pass.
Three things?
Yes. For example, after the book was printed, before it got to my office, according to the Wall Street Journal, a United Nations panel calls for the dollar reserve role, the role of the U.S. dollar as reserve currency of the world, to be eliminated. And I talk about that kind of thing happening in my book. So that was in September.
Okay.
In October, we had a situation where the Vatican made an announcement a few weeks ago welcoming back Anglicans if they want to come. And what was interesting about this is the Anglicans could almost come as they are. What I mean by that is the Vatican said, you guys can keep a lot of your rituals, you can keep various practices you have. As a matter of fact, even though your bishops can't be married and be bishops in the Catholic Church, your priests can be married and come to the Catholic Church. And that's consistent with predictions in the book that there will be compromises within from the Church of Rome in order to allow more people to become part of it.
All right. Now, we talked about that exact same thing one of the Mondays ago when we had Father Dave and Rabbi Morris in the studio talking about the Anglican Church, the disenfranchised Anglican priest joining the Catholic Church. So that is, we know that that's coming true. The Wall Street Journal reporting about the money. What does that have to do with the end of the world? I mean, certainly it hurts the United States, but changing the world currency, what does that have to do with 2012?
Well, the specific year it doesn't have to do, but the general time frame it does.
Okay. How so?
A Hebrew prophet named Habakkuk, 2,600 years ago, warned that at the time of the end, there would be somebody who would be in great debt. And it seems like this prophecy, it says it's going to tarry or take a while, but it'll actually happen at the end, he says. And this is, woe to him who loads up pledges unto himself. Will not your creditors rise up against you suddenly, and you become their plunder? And basically, so this is a prophecy that says, toward the time of the end, somebody's going to get into a lot of debt. People are going to, apparently, I guess, determine that their currency isn't worth anything, and they're going to dump it all at once. That probably will happen sometime next decade.
And so you think that decoupling the U.S. currency from the oil market and other markets out there would be the beginning of the end for the United States economy, as we have been a debtor nation really since the 1970s.
Correct. Wow. What will happen over time is more and more, especially if we accumulate more and more debt, foreign lenders are going to realize that we can't pay it back, or we're only going to be able to pay it back in totally inflated currency. And because of that, there's a prediction that our creditors will figure all this out and suddenly essentially dump the dollar and then come over here and take what they want.
I see. Now, Bob, do you know what the current U.S. debt is per person in the United States?
Well, I know that the debt clock is over $11 trillion, $12 trillion, so I haven't done the math, but it was several hundred thousand the last time I looked.
Well, it was approaching $14 trillion on that, and I think it works out per person, every man, woman, and child, not just the adults, but every man, woman, and child, is $78,000 of debt. So we are clearly a debtor nation, and that's part of the predictions. What's the third one that you see happening?
Well, the third one happened yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yesterday, President Klaus of the Czech Republic signed the Lisbon Treaty. The Lisbon Treaty had been approved by 26 of the 27 nations in the European Union. And for the first time since he signed it, and he signed it over strenuous objections, he didn't want to sign it. The Czech courts basically pressured him yesterday, and he signed it.
And what is the Lisbon Treaty for those of us that live in the United States?
The Lisbon Treaty is a treaty amongst 27 European nations that basically says that instead of us nations all being totally sovereign, we now actually have to take direction from Brussels. And in the past, if you're in the European Union, you didn't want to do something, you had veto power.
You opted out, yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that now. Mm. Not for there are a few things you can still do it for, but not for as many things as before. So now instead of having a loose confederation in Europe, we're actually developing a united European power. And my book talks about a European power developing, and this was one more step in that process. And there was some doubt on whether or not the Czech president was going to sign it, but he signed it yesterday, and right afterwards, he reported that he said this is the end of the sovereignty of the Czech Republic.
So he collapses. He says it's the end of the Czech Republic. It sounds like it's the beginning of what you predict as the King of the North. So things are starting to align, Kevin, to answer your question on our chat room. We've got at least three real current examples of predictions that are coming true. All right, Bob, so we've laid it out. We've got the King of the North, the King of the South, the Antichrist. All of a sudden, you mentioned three predictions have had just come true recently. And the question is, the clock is ticking. We have 1,140-something days left. What are we to do?
Well, I would suggest to people that they read the prophecies that are documented in the book. And even if they think that I'm totally off or I might not be right, there's even a chart in the back of the book, the 16th chapter you mentioned,
yes,
where we have a sequence of events. People should check that out to see whether or not what I'm trying to say is true. And when they do that, I think they get more serious about these predictions and what to do about their own life, because I don't think the nation's going to reverse itself on the debt situation. So I think people individually have to do what they need to do.
Chapter 16, can we call that the countdown to Armageddon?
Actually, yes, that would be fair.
All right, we'll call that Chapter 16, the countdown to Armageddon. Now, your book, 2012 and the Rise of the Secret Sect. If I wanted to get a copy, where would I go?
You'd go to thesecretsect.com, which is our website, which also happens to have the countdown calendar.
Oh, good.
And you can also get the book from Amazon. But if you go to thesecretsect.com, we have a button you can click and get it from Amazon if you prefer to get it from there, or you can get it from us.
All right. Now, spell that out for our audience, because some of them are not as good at spelling. I'm terrible with that. How do you spell it?
Well, thesecretsect.com would be T-H-E, the secret, S-E-C-R-E-T, sect, SECT.com.
Got it.
The word sect that people sometimes don't.
That's, I always trip up on that word. Yep, secret sect. All right, so it's available on Amazon. It's available on your site. If they go to your site, they can also see the countdown clock ticking its way down to December 21st or December 22nd at midnight 2012. All right, last thing before we go, the movie. Do you recommend that people go see that? Is it a precursor to what your book is saying? Or should it be better for them to buy the book either on Amazon or your website?
Well, if they want to know what's going to happen in what sequence, Sony's movie doesn't even try to do that. If they're looking for entertainment, or if they want to see a scenario for the end of the world, they can certainly see Sony's movie. I'm not trying to dissuade people from seeing the movie, but if you want to go beyond what Sony's talking about, I would recommend they go to thesecretsect.com website and order our book.
All right. And that's Dr. Bob Thiel, author of the book 2012, The Rise of the Secret Sect. The book is available on his website, thesecretsect.com, or it's available on Amazon. Pick it up. This is a well-researched book, guests. I mean, this is amazing. He has done Hopi traditions, Catholic prophecies, the I Ching, the Bible, the Talmud, the Quran. He has just done it all. The wealth of research is contained in this book. His chapter 16 gives you the countdown to Armageddon, the things that are starting to line up now. And if you see these warning signs, you better take care because things are going in the wrong direction. And as he said in the interview, three of the predictions have come true within just the last few weeks alone. A fascinating read. It's 2012, The Rise of the Secret Sect. Thank you, Dr. Bob, for being on our show. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Bill.